Good evening, everybody. I recently attended a movie with some other folks here from the chapel, and I've been to a lot of Christian movies, but I think this was the best movie that I've ever attended as far as a Christian movie and the message that it was all about. And the ones that went with me, and some of the rest of you know what the name of the movie was. The name of the movie was War Room. It didn't have anything to do with Special Forces or the Marines or anything like that. But anyway, we'll get into some aspects of what that movie was about in just a few moments. But when I was asked to speak, I gave thought to several different things. But after I attended this movie, I decided that the Lord wanted me to speak on prayer. So that's what I'm going to speak on tonight. And my wife says I have entirely too many references, so I keep remembering that Mark told me one time I could take all the time that I wanted to, and that I thought they were going to take the clocks down, but they left one of them up, so I guess I'm in trouble. Why don't we just have a word of prayer before we start? Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence tonight to thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, and we pray that you will guide our thoughts and you'll help in the matters that we look into, particularly about the importance and the privileges and all that we enjoy to be able to pray and know that you hear and that you answer. Help us with this message, and may we apply these truths to our own hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that I want us to consider is, and you would think it would be the first thing, like this is 101 on prayer. What is prayer? Well, there are many different definitions that you could find. I didn't use a Webster's Dictionary this time because that would have been mostly a secular approach to it. But asking for something definite of God would be a very short, brief answer to what is prayer. I was riding down Acock Street the other day, and they had a sign out in front of this Baptist church, and it said, "Prayer, the greatest wireless connection." And, you know, most of us have got cell phones, but prayer is the greatest wireless connection that any of us could have because of the opportunity and the privilege that we have, and that we know that our source of power and our message will get through. It won't be broken up. From Vine's Dictionary, I found these thoughts on prayer. So I'd like to read them to you, and I'll give you the references, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to them. Prayer is properly addressed to God the Father, Matthew 6:6, and the Son, Acts 7:59. But in no instance in the New Testament is prayer addressed to the Holy Spirit distinctively, for whereas the Father is in heaven, Matthew 6:9, and the Son is at the right hand, Romans 8:34, the Holy Spirit is in and with the believers, John 14:16-17. Prayer is to be offered in the name of the Lord Jesus, John 14:13. That is, the prayer must accord with His character, must be presented in the same spirit of dependence and submission that marked Him. Matthew 11:26 refers to the dependence, and Luke 22:42 refers to the submission that marked our Savior. Well, where are we to pray? Well, in this movie, War Room, which was done by the same people who did Defeating the Giants, Fireproof, and some other Christian movies we've had here at the chapel, there was a widowed lady. She was an African-American, committed, dedicated Christian who went into her closet, and she called her closet her war room, and she had sheets of paper where she would stick them to the wall in her closet, which she cleaned out, and it was completely empty except for her sheets of paper, her list of people that she prayed for or situations. She had one list of prayer she asked. She had another list where prayer was answered. And so I think where we're to pray, we find in Matthew chapter 6, and you may want to turn there for just a moment, Matthew chapter 6, verses 6-8, and this is our Savior talking. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. So the Lord directs us to have a prayer closet. And I think we do well to take that admonition from the Lord and to do that. In this movie, this lady who influenced lots of different people, but particularly one couple that were going through some marital problems, she saw tremendous prayer answered, a tremendous amount of prayer, I should say, answered. How should we pray? Well, I think we should pray with an expectant heart and an expectant mind. We should pray passionately. We should pray with boldness. We've been admonished to come before the throne of grace with boldness. We should pray full of joy. We should pray believing God hears and God answers according to His perfect will. We should pray with thanksgiving. We should pray in reverence, yielded to God's will. And we should pray waiting on the Lord as we instructed in Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, who should we pattern our prayer life after? Well, that's a no-brainer. No question who we should pattern our prayer life after. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to do is for us to look at 5 or 6, I may even have 7, references here that are different characteristics and aspects of the prayer life of our Savior. And the first one we'll look at is found in Luke. And I marked all these because these thin pages give me a fit. But Luke 6:12, we'll read there one of the first characteristics or aspects of our Lord's prayer life. We look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now just stop and think about that for a moment. This is the Son of God. He is man, the Son of man, but he's also deity. And if our Savior felt like and made it important to pray, was willing to climb up into a mountain, to be by himself and to pray all night, shouldn't prayer be an important aspect and part of our daily walk, of our daily lives? So one of the first things we see about our Savior is he was diligent in prayer and he felt like it was important and necessary. The second one I want us to look at is found in Mark, the first chapter, and in verse 35. Mark 1:35, we read this. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Not only did the Lord pray all night, but he made it so important that he got up even before the sun came up, early in the day, before the day, and he went to a solitary place and he prayed. So it's very important part. It was a very important part of our Lord's life for him to be active in prayer. Another reference that we see is in Matthew 15. And in Matthew 15, verses 34 through 38, we read, and his disciples say, and Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. Now, we know that the Son of God spoke this world into being, and we know nothing is too hard for Him. And we know that He could perform a miracle of feeding any number of people with a very little amount. Little as much if God is in it. But you notice that He gave thanks before He called upon His Heavenly Father, or as He was called upon His Heavenly Father, to take these very small provisions and to feed all these people. 4,000 men, not counting women and children. So when we come into the Lord's presence, no matter what we're asking, whether it's for someone to be saved, whether it's for a particular need someone in our family has, something practical, something financial, something physical, we should always have an attitude of thanksgiving. Matthew 21, we have another reference and an aspect of our Lord's prayer life. In Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. We must have faith when we pray. We must believe that what we're asking of God in the Savior's name, He is more than able to accomplish and to do. Matthew 26, we read another one, another aspect of our Savior's prayer life in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. We read this, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And here we see that our Savior was submissive to His Father's will. When we ask anything of God the Father in our Savior's name, we should have a submissive mind and a submissive spirit that whatever and which way He might answer, that we will accept that because it's from Him according to what He knows is best. Mark 11 is another reference I'd like to turn to. And this is Mark 11, verses 24 through 26. Mark 11, 24 through 26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And here what we are not looking at is the believing. We've already covered that you've got to have faith. But we're looking at the aspect that if we have aught against a brother or against a sister in the fellowship or in our family or whatever, that before we pray anything and ask anything of the Lord, we should forgive that person. The last one I'd like to turn to is found in Luke 23:34. This is the last one that I'd like to look at. It's just one verse. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, we just talked about forgiving a brother. But think of the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross and all that was done to Him bodily, by verbal abuse, by spittle, by smacking His face, and then having the spikes driven through His hands and through His feet. And yet He said, just before He commended His spirit into His Father, and said, it's all over. It's finished. Tetelestai. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So these are some of the aspects, some of the characteristics we have seen, and most of them we knew about. But when you put them together, it's a lot of things that He would have us to apply to our own lives in our prayer life when we come before the Heavenly Father to ask these things. What are the key elements of prayer? Now, a lot of this stuff I took from other people. This time I didn't use Matthew Henry, although when we met for prayer tonight, Mark had a message from our coming speaker, Mike Atwood, where he had sent something and commented from Matthew Henry. And I really do like Matthew Henry. But this was from some reference that I'd gotten out of the library, and it said, this is a good acrostic to use to know what kind of prayer or what's a key element or key elements of prayer. The acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A is for adoration. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we should come with adoration, praising and worshiping God. C, confession, asking God to cleanse us from sin. T, thanksgiving, believing and acknowledging God's grace. S, supplication, our specific prayer request. And that's pretty easy to remember when you think we got a book in the Bible called Acts, but this is a good acrostic to use to know how to pray in what order that we would bring before our Lord that what He would have us to bring. Well, what are some of the essentials of prayer? I had a book on my bookshelf I've had for years. I'd never read the book, and I think I might have got it from when Mr. McKay was giving away some books, or Stan had some. It was by E.M. Bounds, and this book was published in 1925. Even I was born later than that. But anyway, this man really had some wonderful essentials in that book, and I'm only going to give you two of them, mainly because of the sake of time and because some of the others we've alluded to. The first essential of prayer is humility. When we bring our request, when we bring our worship, our adoration, our thanksgiving, we should do so in a spirit of humility. The best example I can give you in the Scriptures is found in Luke, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but I'm going to tell you where it's found, and you'll know it immediately because it was a parable from our Savior. Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. And that parable Jesus was telling about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and four or five times in his prayer, he said, I don't do this, I do this, I am that, or whatever. And he referred to himself. He probably couldn't have found a hat to fit his head because his ego and his arrogance were so big. And then we had the publican. I guess the publican was a tax collector, and he was so ashamed and so humble that he wouldn't even lift his eyes to the temple or to heaven, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, of these two men, the one who went down, who never looked up to heaven and only said, forgive me or be merciful to me, a sinner, was the one that was justified. So that is probably as clear an example as I can give you that I'm aware of humility in the Bible. Another essential of prayer from E.M. Bounds is devotion. The spirit of devotion puts God in all things. The order of devotion is in prayer. Prayer must be a flame. Last of all, what were the results? And I've got two results. And for the sake of time, I see my time is up. It usually is. And I got a little extra minute or two. Thank you, Stephen. But anyway, what were the results of godly men and women who prayed? Well, I want us to look at one of them, and I'm going to read it. The other one I'm going to tell you about. We're very familiar with the book of Nehemiah. I used to didn't know Nehemiah existed. It's such a small little book. But Nehemiah is a great book, and what we're going to look at has to do with Nehemiah being a man of prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, we'll read this. We're going to see what he prayed and what were the results. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. A very humble prayer of confession. In verse 11 we read, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now we're going to read just a few verses in chapter 2, and then I'll tell you about the last one, and we'll close in prayer. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. You're never sad in front of the king because he can have your head, because he might think you got something in that wine he's not supposed to drink. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seeing thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And at that moment, Nehemiah sent up a telegraph prayer, we might say. It was a fax. Or it was a wire, but it was a quick prayer. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant has found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. That was his prayer, a very sincere prayer, a very humble prayer, a telegraph prayer. But look in verse 8, the latter part of verse 8, and we're going to see the results of God's intervention and of Nehemiah's prayer. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now, if you read all those in-between verses, Nehemiah just kept asking for this, that, and the other, and the king gave him all of it. He is able to do exceedingly, not the king, our king is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Last one I'm just going to tell you about because I've gone over time and I don't want anybody to shoot me tonight, but these were godly Christians found in the book of Acts in chapter 12, verses 5 through 12, and they were praying for Peter's release. And I know you know the story. Some of them later on when he was released couldn't believe it, so they didn't have much faith. Most of us have been there sometime. But as they prayed, an angel of the Lord went into the jail. The chains fell off of Peter. The next morning Herod was going to cut his head off or somehow get rid of him because he and Herod had a clash, and Peter stood up for the Lord. But anyway, the chains fell off, the prison door opened, and as he and the angel go out the city, the gates of the city open on their own. So these were the results, one from the Old Testament, Nehemiah, and then this one from the New Testament of the deliverance, far exceeding what they had prayed. They just prayed that he wouldn't be killed and perhaps he'd be released. They didn't realize a jail door would open on their own. The gates of the city would open on their own because we have a tendency to limit God. I think it's all summed up in a song I heard on BBN the other morning. And I thought, man, this is perfect. I found the answer. I learned to pray. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we sometimes take for granted of coming into your presence and bringing our concerns, our praise, our confession. But we thank you, you're always here and you do what's best. We thank you for this opportunity to bring forth this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.